You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au. You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
A union man, amazed at what I am. I say what I think, that the company stinks. Yes, I'm a union man. When we meet in the local hall, I'll be voting with them all. With a hell of a shout, it's out, brothers, out. And the rise of the company's fall.
Oh, you don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't.
Hello, members. Welcome to another edition of Fire Up Union Show. We've got some special people for you here this week. We've got our usual co-host, Aaron Moon. How are you, Aaron?
Good, thanks, Dave. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Thanks, mate. And we've got our fantastic producer, Annie.
Hello.
Hi, Annie. And we've got a blast from the past. We've got Melissa. Melissa's... Are you a secret... Melody Melissa, or are you?
No, Melissa McMillan.
legendary youth delegate and ex-host of the radio show. Welcome aboard again, Melissa.
Thank you.
Aaron's done a bit of work on the format of our show. Maybe we could cross over to Aaron and you could give us a bit of a rundown, Aaron.
We're going to try and... a new format where we have a special guest on every fortnight. So this week we will be using Mel as our special guest. We'll kick off today by quickly running through some of the really important days that have happened over the last fortnight. So obviously we've had May Day. Unfortunately, this time around, May Day was a bit different to it has been traditionally. Obviously, Victoria's in stage three of the restrictions, so it was much more difficult for us to all get together and celebrate May Day as we usually would. Dave, what do you usually do on May Day?
Usually, there's a great big event out the front of Victorian Trades Hall where all the unions get together and we have barbecues and there's kids' rides, although there wasn't kids' rides last year, but I believe they were planned to be back again this year. Unfortunately, as you said, the current restrictions made it really difficult this year. And we also had a bit of an incident with the group supporting refugees, CRAG, I think they're called.
No,
they
REC.
Had a... beg your pardon?
REC. Refugee Action Collective.
Yeah, okay. So they had a car convoy going around the streets a couple of weeks ago as a bit of a protest, and unfortunately quite a number of them were fined the $1,600 for disobeying the restrictions around COVID-19. It was deemed unnecessary for them to be in their cars at the time. And there was even a mention or a threat that one of them, the organiser, may have been charged with incitement. Is that right, Aaron?
Yes, that's what I understand. So I believe that they've dragged the charge up from like the 40s or the 30s or something, a charge of incitement. And from what I've been told, the organiser have been on with that, which is a pretty significant step by the authorities here in Victoria, I would think, and pretty outrageous when it's just people trying to exercise the right. And by remaining in their cars, obviously, with their only family members from their houses, they were respecting social distancing and minimising the ability of them to of them interacting with people. So it was pretty disappointing actions by both the government and the authorities here in Victoria.
So that put a bit of a scare up the unions. I think Victoria was one of the most disappointing states with respects to the May Day this year. I think... the MUA held a couple of great events, one in New South Wales, one in Western Australia. I think Queensland did a pretty good job. We actually let ourselves down a bit here in Victoria. Hopefully that'll never happen again. A bit disappointing.
I think it was the first time since the 40s that, since wartime, that there wasn't a May Day event here in Victoria. And as we all know, May Day is arguably the most important day on the workers' calendar. It's a day we get to celebrate some pretty significant achievements and celebrate the solidarity of the working class worldwide. And it's a great opportunity to get out and talk to our younger members about the struggles that have been in the past and why it's important to continue to be a union and build the union power in the workplace. Mel, what are your thoughts on May Day?
I used to love going to the May Day March. Last year, I think it was, I helped out with the sausage sizzle outside Trades Hall, got involved in all of it. It's a great day. So it's bad that it's not on this year, but yeah.
But bigger and better next year, hey? So by that time, all the restrictions and that will be lifted and we can have another great May Day as we have done in the past. Another event that was impacted by the coronavirus this last fortnight was International Workers Memorial Day. So that's held on the 28th of April every year, and that's a day we get to commemorate and mourn the loss of people who have been injured or suffered deaths from illnesses that they've contracted from work. It's pretty unfortunate that we have about 450 people, I think, here in Australia that die annually from workplace-related injury or illness, and that number is even worse around the globe. I think it's up to about 1.3 million on average. People are killed tragically or taken from their families to at work. So it's quite a somber event, but it's very important, and it's a very good opportunity for us to reflect as to why we need to hold bosses accountable on work health and safety, because it does impact families. And Dave, we've seen some pretty tragic times down here in Victoria, haven't we?
Yeah, well, you know, there were statistics that you were 14 times more likely to die on the waterfront or in the maritime industry than in any other industry in Australia, including the armed services. And fortunately, it has been quite a while since we've had a death. Yeah, let's hope it's a long time before we see another one, or we'll never see another one. We certainly don't want to. It's a dangerous industry, and we always have to stay on our toes to keep everybody safe. And, our industry has been responsible for the only two successful cases of Section 76 in the OH&S Act, discrimination against a HSR. Both of them have, obviously that's a Victorian law anyway, but it was our industry, the maritime industry, the MUA, both MUA members, where we successfully prosecuted against the companies, and there was massive fines put in place. And it just makes you wonder why there's not a lot more successful prosecutions under the OH&S Act. Obviously, WorkSafe sometimes are a bit of a toothless tiger. We need to fire them up as a regulatory body and increase their strength. And hopefully we don't need to in the future. But, yeah, we need to keep the bosses on their toes around safety, that's for sure. Profit before safety.
The COVID-19 thing is pretty interesting, isn't it, considering what's happened down at the wharves. But I was just thinking the other day that today it was reported that in America 3,000 people will die a day, and that's a Twin Towers event every day.
Wow.
Terrifying statistic, isn't it?
Yeah, and a lot of those people are turning out to be, I mean, there'll be frontline workers who are dying. So that's pretty interesting.
Yeah,
there's been massive restrictions put on you at work, Melissa, hey, at TT Line.
Yeah, we're not allowed to get off the ship at all now. So that's it's been a bit crazy for a lot of us when we're used to going home every second day. So, but understandable at the same time to keep us all safe. So we're getting temperature checked before we join. It's been a pretty big ordeal, but morale on here is pretty good at the moment, so keeping each other going every day, I guess.
That's good. It's great to see some solidarity amongst the workforce, and as always, NUA members have each other's back, which is great.
How many passengers on board do you have at the moment, Melissa?
Oh, not many. it's been below 30, I think, every day mainly. There's a couple of big ones in there every now and then out of Tassie, but
yeah.
Apart from that, it's been pretty small. But, yeah, the ship's never been cleaner. I have to admit the deep cleans are, yeah, pretty good. The bleach smells amazing, but, yeah.
Awkward, yeah, very tough. Mm-hmm. I know the union's working closely with TT Line to try and keep all the workers in a job, and everyone's trying to work together to make that work. Unfortunately, TT Line, I think we mentioned last week, are not eligible for the JobKeeper allowance, mm-hmm. which makes it very awkward and difficult, being a state-owned business. I don't know where that nonsense comes from.
That JobKeeper allowance has been a pretty disappointing stimulus, hasn't it? It seems to have been used. It seems to be being used by employers to prop themselves up, and it doesn't flow through to the workers and assist the workers like we suspected it would be abused by workers. And plus, right from the get-go, it unfairly discriminated against young workers who are largely casual, female workers, and also migrant workers here in Australia. So it's a typical conservative view of the world that not everybody matters, and it's fallen to bits, really. And hey, speaking of that, and speaking of impacted youth, whilst we've got Mel on the line, why don't we run through what's been happening with the youth?
Yeah, so not a lot, obviously, since COVID-19, but yeah, so we went to our conference, which was that was back in March? Was that March?
Well, you ducked before it happened.
Yeah, just before it happened, we all got back on the plane and had a bit of a freak out, I think.
Because
I think it was in the Gold Coast at that time. So the youth got involved in our action up there for fuel security, which was amazing. All of my youth guys got involved. There was people that have never done public speaking before that got up and public spoke. It was amazing. The guys down there were so good. So hopefully in the coming months, probably when I'm off the ship, because it's a bit hard when I'm on here, but we can have a Zoom hookup, because I think it's the way of the way the future's going at the moment. So yeah, hopefully we can do sort of a little youth hookup in Melbourne shortly.
And have you been having any Zoom parties?
Oh, I've had heaps of Zoom parties. And is it house party? That app? That's
right. You can just log on to the computer now, and you've got an excuse to get on the piss. It's the best.
Well, I think I'm coming off my alcoholism the last week.
You're allowed to drink at like 8 a.m.
Yeah, it seemed pretty bad.
You can on other people's timelines, that's great. Obviously, we will drink responsibly and if anybody has a problem with alcohol.
Is that because you don't need something other driver? You're all at home.
No, you don't have to go anywhere. So
that's right.
You don't even have to get dressed up.
And you can even have one of those backdrops for your Zoom, like you're on the moon or something.
it's great stuff. However, there is a serious side to COVID-19, but in the youth in Victoria and around the country, I think Newcastle did the same thing, reaching out to our retired members and our veterans. And do you want to tell us a little bit about what you did there?
Yeah, so I put my hand up as the main contact, I guess, for the youth committee in Victoria. So any of the veterans and anyone that needed help, I guess, during the COVID-19 that couldn't get out of their house or go down to the shops and things like that, because obviously medical conditions, heart conditions, lung conditions, they shouldn't really be going anywhere near those places. So if they needed any help to get medication or groceries or even be driven to the doctors and things like that, we put our hands up for that. So just to give them a hand if they needed it.
Yeah, that was fantastic, Mel. I know that not many veterans reached out to you, but I know that it meant a great deal to them just to have the offer. So well done on that. That was fantastic.
I was waiting for it.
That was great work and a great initiative by the youth, both here in Melbourne and around the country. It's really important that our youth remain connected to our veterans of the industry. After all, they built and fought for all the conditions that we enjoy now. So it's great to maintain that connection and that continuity of history throughout our union and our industry. Whilst we're still got you here, Mel, what is the impact of the virus to young people, and how do you feel as a young delegate work has been since the lockdown and everything like that?
Especially with the guys on here, I think the casuals and the PPTs have probably got it the hardest. We want to make sure at some point they've got work still at the end of the day. So the union's done a great job in getting the information for them so they know what they can apply for, considering we can't have JobKeeper. They can go for Job Seeker if they've got no leave left, which is a good thing, because at least then they can get some money. And then because they don't have leave and they don't have work, they're actually allowed to go get another job for the time being if they need to. So that's something we didn't really have before that they're allowed to do now. And at this point in the day, like, if you don't have any money, you can't pay your bills. So that's the main thing that I'm noticing, and the mental health from that. It's not so much the not working, it's the not getting paid that has been a big thing for the young ones and the older generation, to be quite honest. So, yeah, it's definitely a wake-up call.
Yeah, it's really difficult. Like, a lot of people we all know are lucky enough to live in secure houses, possibly with family or friends, but there's obviously a lot of people that live alone or don't have the support system around them, and just to have your income cut like that must be really difficult. And it's good that at least they've increased the job seeker allowance, but it still must be really tough for those people and young people.
Oh, it's extremely tough. It's good on within our workplace, especially how we do have that morale and we do keep each other going and we offer help and support and things like that. And our delegates on here are amazing. So that's one good thing for us, I guess. But, yeah, I couldn't imagine how some of the other employees in different areas are going at the moment, because they must be struggling a lot.
All the casino workers, they're
hospitality.
Yeah.
Hospitality, airlines. The unemployment rate is skyrocketing at the moment, which is pretty saddening, but unfortunately, it's one of the things we have to do to make sure that we can try and save some lives, I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's incumbent on the government here to stand in and actually take a leading role and support people, I think.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Well, it does tell you something about the insecurity of the system that we live in, and that perhaps it gives us an opportunity to try and think of better ways of running the show. Also, it tells you that how important public services are, and when they spend a lot of time reducing public services and giving them over to private hands, it's a really big mistake.
Yeah, for sure. It'll be interesting to see how we bounce back from this, you know, whether we just go back to the way everything was, or we can actually put some significant changes in place and provide a bit more security to people. Like, everyone, you know that the government and the bosses love casualisation, but the impact of casualisation is just so bad now. You can see it with this virus.
And this business about saying we're going to give JobKeeper allowance going through employers, but only for people who have been on the books for 12 months, when people are, like, even like academics, they're casuals. You know, in the past, people had good jobs. They paid a lot of money to get their education, if you want to be frank and cutthroat about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, on that note, there was a guy at a supermarket the other day that walked up to a girl that's obviously a frontline worker, she's stuck doing that job, like it is her job, and he's sitting there saying, it's so great, I'm getting paid all this money to sit at home and do nothing.
Oh, what an idiot.
And she's sitting there going, I'm getting paid the smallest amount of wage possible to make sure you can get groceries, and you're coming up and saying that to me. It was horrible to watch. Horrible to watch.
And new things keep emerging around the JobKeeper allowance. There's implications with the taxation office now. I've been told that up until now it hasn't been addressed, but I believe it is being addressed now. But employers were expected to pay superannuation on top of the JobKeeper's allowance. So if you had 100 casual employees, some businesses probably were looking at it and go, well, if I don't get JobKeepers, I don't have to pay those people superannuation. I don't have to pay them any other benefits. And so they've actually been choosing not to go after the JobKeeper allowance. So I think it is starting to be addressed at the tax office, but just typical of our federal government failing to, you know, really look into something and do it properly. And this rotten, stinking federal government we've got now, I mean, I know the JobKeeper's allowance is going to people that don't need it, and it's not going to people that need it, and it's just hopeless, absolutely hopeless.
Yeah, but also that's the thing, you know, the words. It's all about words, and then you look at the details. So that the one for businesses, they had to have enough money for a month before the payment came in.
Yeah.
And then they talked about bridging loans from banks. So what, I mean, isn't that like falling into quicksand for a business? I don't know.
Yeah, and all the payments go after, so there's typical cash flow issues and everything. It just makes it difficult. They just, it really just has not worked. And there needs
very
to be...
Stressful.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, people who were on Newstart, it's probably the, even though it was low, it was the only time that it was better than having a job that you lost, because at least you had a boy to hang on to in the raging storm.
I was reading that youth suicide has gone up since this as well. So,
oh no.
Not being able to leave the house, not having work, not being able to pay your bills and things like that. So that's pretty horrible, and that's where we've sort of got to at the moment. So...
And speaking of mental health and things like that, for all of our MUA members out there, anybody that's having a bit of a tough time or has heightened anxieties through this, the MUA has an employee assistance program called HunterLink, they provide a lot of great services with counsellors and a whole heap of other services as well. So if anybody does need it, they can contact the branch for a 1-800 number, or they can jump online to hunterlink.org.au and go through there. Somebody will be in contact with you. 24-hour service, entirely free, entirely anonymous, and very valuable and a very great resource to our members. So jump online. Loads of people use it every day.
It's amazing. I've used it when I got attacked by some guys trying to steal my car, and they were amazing. They got me through that hard time. So they're very good at their jobs.
Yeah, they are. They're great. So,
well, we've got very little time left, you know, so you're going to do a branch report.
Yeah, we do have very little time left. That's right. Thanks for nudging us along there. Dave, do you want to jump into it and start with the Seafarers? We know we've got the Seafarers Committee meeting by Zoom soon, but do you want to run through now, mate, and I'll jump in behind you.
So obviously we've all learning on how to communicate with our members during this COVID-19 time. So Zoom is becoming more popular, and we are initiating a new committee next week called the Seafarers Committee here in Victoria. And we're hoping that committee will be able to campaign on seafaring issues like the fuel security campaign, the Australia Auroras campaign, any campaign around increasing Australian shipping and getting more jobs for Australian seafarers. So that's going to start next week. So we're looking forward to that. We're trying to work out whether we can have our monthly meeting via Zoom. We're a little bit concerned about the security and people asking questions and how that's going to work, but we think we're going to have a crack at it anyway, because we've missed two monthly meetings the last 2 months, and I don't think that's ever really happened. I can't remember a time when there hasn't been a monthly meeting. So we need to get back on top of that and make that happen next month. It is still really difficult because of COVID-19 having meetings. The office staff obviously are concerned about making sure that this workplace is safe for them. So they don't want heaps of people coming into our offices, potentially spreading the virus and that. So yeah, it's something we're working through. It is still unknown territory, but we are improving. And I guess this radio show is an example of what you can do via Zoom.
That's right. And so other things that we've had around the port as well. So we've got an ongoing dispute with DP World, obviously. That's all in the courts now about people being stood down for a safety issue. That we'll keep updating members as we get things happening through there. We unfortunately will see a whole heap of redundancies at Patrick tomorrow just due to the loss of contracts and business. We're expecting 40 to go, which is a shame, but we'd like to congratulate those members and the great work they've done down there for some of them many decades. In addition to that, we have the EA ongoing at Cube. Part A is ongoing and I think Part B is commencing. So there's some work being done around there from the committees and the branch, which is great that we're able to progress them through these tough times. The enterprise agreement at Victoria is being renegotiated. We have just recently been in the commission with the company there around good faith bargaining. So we will hopefully see those negotiations progress, albeit via online times. And then I can't link to their JOG today. Dave, and there's still negotiations happening there and discussions happening there through, again, the online portals. But just because the virus is out there doesn't mean the branch has stopped. And the branch is obviously, like they said, still open. We're trying to limit the amount of people coming in, but the branch is still open. Your union's still here. We're still working for you, and we're going to make sure we keep up the fight and keep taking to employers. Now, I think we're probably wrapped up for time, hey? And Dave has a song that he wants to introduce. It was a personal pick by his. So, go, Dave.
Actually, this song was nominated by Melissa.
Oh, it definitely wasn't.
Love the song. First time I've heard it, and I'm a big fan.
The Rhythm of Life by Sammy Davis Jr. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, guys.
Daddy started out in San Francisco, tooting on his trumpet loud and mean.
Suddenly a voice said, go for it, Daddy, spread the picture on a wider screen.
And the voice said, Daddy, there's a million pigeons waiting to be hooked on new religions. Hit the road, Daddy, leave your common law wife. Spread the religion of the rhythm of life. And the rhythm of life is a powerful beat. Puts a tingle in your fingers and a tingle in your feet. Rhythm in your bedroom, rhythm in the street. Yes, the rhythm of life. Life is a powerful beat.
To feel the rhythm of life, to feel the powerful beat, to feel the tingle in your fingers, to feel the tingle in your feet.
Daddy spread the gospel in Milwaukee, took his walkie-talkie to Rocky Ridge.
Blew his way to Canton, then to Scranton, till he landed under the Manhattan Bridge.
Daddy was a new sensation, got himself a congregation, built up quite an operation down below.
With a fire piper blowing, while the muscatel was blowing, all the cats were go-go-going
down below.
Daddy was a new sensation, got himself a congregation, with a fire piper and operation down.
Flip your wings and fly to Daddy. Flip your wings and fly to Daddy. Flip your wings and fly to Daddy. Fly, fly, fly to Daddy. Take a dive and swim to Daddy. Take a dive and swim to Daddy. Take a dive and swim to Daddy.
Swim, swim, swim to Daddy.
Hit the floor and crawl to Daddy.
floor and crawl to daddy. Hit the floor and crawl to daddy. Crawl, crawl, crawl to daddy.
Flip your wings, fly. Flip your wings, fly.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.